This is New Media Beat on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Samantha Stock.
And I'm Darrell Smith. We have media news from 8 nations tonight: Bangladesh, Brazil, South Korea, Nepal, South Africa, China, North Korea, Venezuela.
From Bangladesh?
There's a government in Bangladesh following the massive protests in August. What about the press and investigative journalist Seema Islam? What challenges do female journalists face in New Bangladesh?
From Brazil, we have news about social media.
Why has a judge shut down X in Brazil? There's a battle between Elon Musk and Brazilian Supreme Court. Does X have to follow Brazil's rules? What's the spat about? Who makes the rules, nations or platforms?
From South Korea, we have news about deepfakes.
There's a wave of pornographic deepfakes in South Korea. Who is making these fakes? How are these fakes being made? What is the government doing to stop it?
From Nepal, should a government protect its citizens from the divisiveness of social media?
Is TikTok a threat to social harmony? In Nepal, what do they mean by social harmony? Why did the government ban TikTok? Are social media a threat to the culture of Nepal?
From South Africa, how is gambling changing sports media and the fan experience?
Online sports betting is explosive in South Africa. Are these betting apps a threat to the mental and financial well-being of South Africans' sport fans?
From China, will Chinese developers be the new kings of online gaming?
Do you play Back Miss Wukong? Millions do. It's made in China, and it's a global gaming sensation. In China, is China becoming a major player in the competitive market? What makes Black Myth so popular?
From North Korea, what happens if a North Korean gets caught watching a foreign film or listening to K-pop?
Can North Koreans watch media from other nations? What happens if they do? Why is the government of Kim Jong-un so afraid of foreign media? What is the penalties if you are caught consuming foreign content?
From Venezuela, why is the president angry at X and Elon Musk? All this and more coming up on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
Let's start New Media Beat with a report about press freedom and social media in Bangladesh. Massive student-led protests led to the overthrow of the government of Sheikh Hasan this summer. Michaela Rella has been looking into the work of one journalist who covered the unrest. Her name was Seema Islam. What part did journalists play in the recent protests? What roles have women journalists like Seema Islam played in Bangladesh? Michaela is here to talk about some of the challenges that female journalists like Seema Islam face in Bangladesh today. Michaela, who is Seema Islam?
Seema Islam is a Bangladeshi journalist and reporter known for her work in the field of media. She has gained recognition for her reports on various social and political issues in Bangladesh. Seema is known for her engaging storytelling and commitment to uncovering important stories, often focusing on topics that impact the lives of people in her country.
What motivated the protest of Bangladesh?
Student protests in Bangladesh are often motivated by concerns about political repression, mainly involving female journalists and internet crackdowns. Many students rally against restrictions on press freedom and the harassment of women in media. Economic issues such as rising tuition fees and unemployment also motivate their activism as they seek better opportunities. Frustration with corporate corruption and strict governing fuels their movements, which is a powerful force change in the country.
Why was the use of social media during these protests an issue?
During protests, social media sites like Facebook, WhatsApp, and Twitter played a significant role in recruiting citizens and sharing information. The media often disagrees with state authorities since it plays a crucial role in amplifying protest voices. The government has a history of hiding these online opinions during rallies. During times of political protest, the government frequently places internet restrictions, which keep an eye on social media activity and restrict reporters and protesters based on their defiance. These methods aim to maintain control and stop the spread of these journalists' voices in the media. The United News of Bangladesh states a new censorship law passed on Bangladesh's parliament has drawn criticism for its vague wording, which could lead to restriction of the freedom of expression. This is an effective example on the continued difficulties that journalists in Bangladesh encounter, particularly during politically charged events like protests.
Who is Seema Islam, and what challenges did she face?
Seema Islam reported on student-led protests in Bangladesh and encountered serious threats. Following the release of a piece about police brutality, she was directly threatened with death. Islam remembers hearing, his people informed one of our reporters that they knew I rode around on a scooter and that it would be very easy to kill me and make it look like a road accident. This shows how her job has put her in risk physically, as individuals who knew the people she reported on kept a careful eye on her whereabouts and threatened to harm her. There is a huge bias against women journalists during times of protests over politics. Journalists have been intimidated and silenced by the Digital Security Act and earlier laws such as the Cybersecurity Act. Zima Islam's experience highlights this as she went through both physical threats and personal effects due to her investigative reporting on police abuse. Other women face online threats. These sites are frequently used to harass, threaten, or publicly criticize women. Because it may be invasive and hard to stop, online abuse can be even more harmful and an ongoing reason for anxiety and fear for female reporters.
How are female journalists treated in Bangladesh?
The treatment of women in the Bangladeshi media has evolved in an environment where female journalists are increasingly at the center of reporting on sensitive political issues, yet face ongoing challenges, particularly during periods of political tension and government crackdowns. Although women in media have always worked in a male-dominated field, the risks they encounter have grown even more severe and dangerous as a result of the rise of digital journalism and media. Hannah Storm, director of the International News Safety Institute, describes that in many parts of the world, women are threatened and attacked for the work they do, which in some cultures and countries challenges gender stereotypes. This is especially true in Bangladesh during times of political conflict when women's responsibilities and investigators are seen as threatening both conventional gender roles and government authority. Since they are frequently seen as defying social norms, women who report on political corruption or government abuses are frequently the targets of intimidation and violence. For New Media Beat, I am Michaela Rella. Back to you, Darrell.
Thanks, Michaela. Why can't Brazilians access X? Our next report is about a conflict between the Brazilian government and the CEO of X, Elon Musk. What are they fighting about? A Supreme Court judge suspended access to X in Brazil at the beginning of September. Who makes the rules for social media in Brazil? A Brazilian judge or an American tech CEO? Hannah, what's the conflict about?
So the conflict is about Elon Musk's social media platform and Brazil. The challenge is over misinformation and hate speech allegations. The commonly known platform X, best known as Twitter, is facing challenges with rising concerns over disinformation and advertising.
What was the ban about?
So the ban is about misinformation being shared over the social media platform and hate speech allegations.
When was this ban imposed?
The ban was imposed in September of 2024, and Alexandre de Moraes has ordered an immediate and complete suspension over the platform X.
What is X's response to the ban?
So X has been threatened with fines for refusing to comply with orders from Moraes. Also, X has not been the first social media company under pressure in Brazil. The response to this ban has been quite assertive. They're emphasizing its commitment to being safe for users and responsible content moderation. They're also working to improve their policies, but felt like the ban was an overreach.
How is this affecting social media users in Brazil?
Social media users are being affected in multiple ways. They are experiencing frustration as many relied on X for news, updates, and communication. Some turn to other platforms such as Instagram and TikTok, while others are sparking concerns over digital rights and freedom of speech in the country. For New Media B, I'm Hannah Rodriguez. Back to you, Darrell.
Thank you, Hannah. We'll be right back with media news from South Korea. Can the government protect South Koreans from the scourge of deepfake porn?
Jaden Nunes has been following the news coverage for New Media Beat. What can the authorities do to protect young South Koreans? Who are the perpetrators? Will they be punished? What are the AI technologies needed to create these fake images? Should these AI apps be banned or regulated? Jaden, let's start with the very basics. Describe the deep fake porn that is traumatizing so many young South Koreans.
Right now, South Korea is hit with a wave of AI-generated deep fake porn. This has caught the attention of South Korean authorities, and they are making an effort to stop this cybercrime. South Korean authorities are currently investigating the spread of sexually explicit AI-generated deepfake images and videos of women. These deepfakes are made by using everyday images, for example, school photos, selfies from social media, and even military headshots. These images of women and girls from across the country These are images of women and girls from across the country, and they're being turned into pornographic material without their consent. It's horrifying. What's really shocking is that a Telegram channel with over 22,000 users is at the center of this. In these chat rooms, members submit images of women, images they've pulled from social media or even secretly taken, and then moderators generate and distribute these deepfake videos. Victims are unaware that their faces are being used in this way.
And who are the victims of these AI deepfakes?
The sad reality is that they come from all walks of life. We're talking about South Korean women and teenage girls, students, teachers, police officers, journalists, and even soldiers. In fact, the military has also been targeted, with reports that around 30 female soldiers have been identified as victims. These images are often pulled from official ID photos or pictures taken during training, which makes this an invasion of privacy even more unsettling. What's particularly terrifying is how widespread this is. No one is safe from being targeted, whether you're just posting a selfie online or getting your official ID photo taken. It really highlights how vulnerable people are to this kind of exploitation and the need for better protections, both legally and technologically, against these kind of violations.
What actions are South Korean authorities taking?
Authorities in South Korea are cracking down hard on deepfake-related crimes, and the number tells a shocking story. Between January and September of this year alone, 318 people have been arrested in connection with these crimes. And here's the part that really stands out. Nearly 79% of those arrests are teenagers. That's right. Teens play a huge role in this disturbing trend. In response, the government has mobilized a multi-agency task force teaming up with the governing People Power Party to strengthen investigations, increase penalties, and importantly, provide a better support for the victims. It's a full-scale effort to not only hold perpetrators accountable, but also to take care of those whose lives have been impacted by this digital nightmare. One bit of good news, the government-run agency Center for Online Sexual Abuse Victims have been working tirelessly to track down and erase these deepfakes. So far, they've successfully moved more than half of the harmful content. It's a crucial step, but there's still a long way to go.
How has Telegram responded to this issue?
Now, let's talk about Telegram's response. According to the platform spokesman, Remy Vaughn, Telegram has been actively removing content reporting from Korea that violates its terms of service. Vaughn says the company is committed to continuing this effort, and it looks like they're backing up this claim. South Korea's media watchdog, the Korea Communications Standard Commission, has confirmed that Telegram has complied with the request to remove at least 25 deepfake images that were flagged by the commission. While that's a start, it's worth asking, is it enough, given the scale of these crimes and the speed at which the content spreads? The challenge for platforms like Telegram is massive.
How does this issue contribute to the ongoing allegations of Telegram?
In a new development that adds another layer to the ongoing concerns about Telegram's role in online crimes, Durov, the founder and CEO of the messaging app, was arrested in Paris. Authorities are alleging that Telegram has been used not just for distribution of deepfakes, but other illicit activities, as well as things like drug trafficking and the distribution of child sexual abuse images. These arrests underscore the broader issue, which platforms like Telegram, where encryption and anonymity had made it difficult to monitor the control harmful content. While Telegram has been complying with requests from South Korean authorities to remove some of the deepfake images, it's clear that the platform is facing immense pressures on multiple fronts. For New Media Beat, I'm Jaden Nunez. Back to you, Samantha.
Thank you, Jaden. Let's talk about a conflict over social media in Nepal. Nepal banned TikTok in 2023. This summer, the government lifted the ban. Why did the government in Kathmandu ban TikTok in the first place? And why did they lift the ban now? Nepal is in a nation of more than 31 million people in the Himalayan mountains between China and India. Mount Everest is in Nepal. The Constitution of the Republic of Nepal includes a clause about freedom of the press. But is there a free media in Nepal if the government is blocking social media platforms? Maria Doran and Sophia Triadafilis are here in Studio A to talk about the dispute over social in Nepal. Maria, why did the government ban TikTok in 2023?
Nepal banned TikTok due to concerns over the platform's negative impact on society and its potential to spread inappropriate content. The government cited issues related to the misuse of the platform and the need to protect the well-being of citizens as reasons for the ban.
The reasons for the TikTok ban in Nepal were the material on the platform and the possible effects it may have had on society. Information privacy is a worry due to inappropriate content, cultural sensitivity, public safety, and security. The banning is a part of a large movement in several nations to address the many-sided effects on social media and society, particularly for younger users. In November of last year, the previous government banned TikTok, citing the need to control social media usage as a means of curbing social peace, encouraging kindness, and spreading positive content.
Why did Nepal lift its ban on TikTok?
Nepal lifted the ban on TikTok after implementing measures to ensure that the platform complies with local regulations and addresses concerns about content. The decision was influenced by the need to treat all social networking sites equally and to acknowledge the platform's efforts to moderate inappropriate content.
How did TikTok users react to this ban?
People in Nepal responded and experienced different repercussions from the TikTok ban. Due to the restrictions, influencers and content creators had a difficult time connecting with the audience and making a living off the network. Users, especially those in younger demographics who depended on the network for creative expression and enjoyment, expressed their displeasure and frustration about the restriction. Some may say that TikTok is a platform where you can express your opinions and share parts of your day-to-day life for the audience. Many users employed for the virtual private networks to max their location and access the platform, allowing them to bypass government restrictions.
And what do we understand about the role of government in Nepal's media?
The government regulates the media through various laws and policies to ensure that media operations adhere to national standards and ethics.
The government regulates, supervises, and occasionally intervenes in the media. Government regulation refers to the creation of the laws that control the activities of the media, including broadcast media. Obtaining licenses for media outlets to function, which is subject to government regulations and standards. To make it practical and acceptable, the laws and regulations must be within the acceptable parameters of human rights and the protections of citizens.
For New Media Beat, I'm Maria Duran.
And I'm Sophia Chitofopoulos. Back to you, Samantha.
Thank you, Sophia and Maria. When we return, a report about online gambling and social media in South Africa. Is easy access to sports betting good for sports fans in South Africa?
My co-host, Samantha Stock, has been following the media news from South Africa, where online sports gambling is very popular. Samantha, how popular is online sports betting in South Africa, and why is this media a story? What parts do sports media and social media play in growing popularity of online gambling in South Africa?
Online sports betting in South Africa has become extremely popular over the past few years due to social media. As more and more online platforms and apps are made for sports betting, many individuals are becoming addicted and their mental health is being negatively affected.
What is sports betting in South Africa?
Online sports betting has become extremely popular in South Africa over the past few years due to the rise of social media platforms and apps that are now available to bet on various games. Before the emergence of social media and online applications, individuals would place bets through physical betting shops or bookmakers. Now it's especially easy and convenient for individuals to place bets on their favorite sports teams wherever they are, which can cause many negative effects on an individual's mental health. According to statistics, the most popular betting apps in South Africa are Betaway, EasyBet, 10Bet, BafaBet, and the list goes on.
What role does advancements of technology play in promoting sports betting?
Besides the fact that it's extremely convenient, social media gives sports betting the growth it needs, as it also enables individuals to interact with each other. These apps give users the opportunity to communicate with each other, share their team's bets, and discuss strategies and much more. With the rise of influencers all over social media, we now see sports betting influencers who are generating a community around sports betting. Next, these sports betting apps will reel you in to use or continue using their platforms by continuously offering different promotions and bonuses in hopes to keep their users and to attract more customers, which can be extremely dangerous.
What impact has sports betting had on the South African government?
Sports betting has had many effects on the South African government, which can be both positive and negative. To start, the government receives an outstanding revenue from both taxes and licensing fees because of sports betting. Several jobs are also being created in the sports betting industry, such as IT professionals and customer service representatives.
How has sports betting affected individuals' mental health in South Africa?
Although individuals may think sports betting is something that's exciting and fun to do, it can really take a toll on one's mental health if not done responsibly. An analysis by an outlier shows that approximately $418 billion of wagers in South African gambling stemmed from sports betting in 2022 to 23. There was an 80% increase from 2021. Gambling addictions can lead to problems such as financial stress, social isolation, and emotional distress. Losing money on bets can cause extreme amounts of stress, and when individuals have an addiction like this, they believe they will win that money back. So what do? They deposit more money into that betting application, and they place another one. This is a continuous cycle which will only affect someone's mental health negatively. In conclusion, there are high points of sports betting, but there will always be low points, and it causes way too much distress on an individual. For New Media Beat, I'm Samantha Stock. Back to you, Darrell.
Thank you, Samantha. Let's travel from South Africa to Asia for a report about the online gaming industry in China. If you're a fan of online role-playing games, then you may have heard of Blacksmith Wukong. This is a game developed in China that has a stunning success this summer. Millions are playing. What makes this quality role-playing game so popular? What does the massive sales in and out of China mean for Chinese game developers and the Chinese online gaming industry? Frank Whiteneck has been doing the research for New Media Beat. Frank, have you played Blacksmith Wukong yet?
Yeah, you know, I do like to play video games myself, so I definitely was interested. So I checked it out. I watched some videos on it, some streams. It's not necessarily my type of game, but I definitely do see the hype around it and why so many people love it.
What is Blacksmith Wukong?
Blacksmith Wukong is an action RPG game developed by Game Science. It's inspired by the classic Chinese novel Journey to the West. It follows the journey of Sun Wukong, or the Monkey King, as he battles various demons and explores a beautifully crafted world. The game has a lot of attention for its stunning visuals of Chinese architecture and dynamic combat mechanics, making it one of the most anticipated and successful titles in the gaming community, especially for China.
What does the success of Blacksmith mean for the China gaming industry?
It's big. You know, the game's success represents a major milestone for the Chinese gaming industry, showcasing its potential to produce high-quality, globally competitive titles. It highlights a growing trend of leveraging cultural heritage in games which can appeal to both domestic and international audiences. This success could encourage further investment in game development in China and inspire other developers to create culturally rich narratives.
Why is Blacksmith facing backlash?
Wukong has sparked controversy after gaming influencers who were given early access were told not to mention news and politics like COVID-19 or feminist propaganda while publicly discussing the game. Gamers are voicing their complaints about sexism in China, in Chinese gaming, and are making allegations against the game's developer, Game Science, saying that it posted offensive messages online. Some players have also pointed out potential gameplay similarities to other well-known franchises, sparking debates about originality.
How is the Chinese government involved in the censorship?
The Chinese government has a history of regulating video game content, enforcing strict guidelines to ensure cultural appropriateness and alignment with socialist values. There are concerns that elements of the game could be subject to censorship, especially if they portray themes or characters that contradict government narratives. People can face harsh punishment for publicly speaking about sensitive topics or criticizing the ruling Communist Party. This censorship from the Chinese government shows us why the China gaming industry has struggled in the past. Some streamers said that such directives from companies were not unusual, including the request to not mention COVID. For New Media Beat, I am Frank Whiteneck. Back to you, Darrell.
Thank you, Frank. North Korea is one of the most repressive regimes in the world.
All of the media are state controlled. What happens when North Korea dares to watch foreign media? Stay tuned.
You're listening to OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, broadcast live from Studio A at SUNY Old Westbury Campus in Old Westbury, New York.
My co-host Darrell Smith is here to discuss how little media freedom there is in North Korea. The dictator Kim Jong-un does not allow the citizens of North Korea to consume outside media. The media are filled with state propaganda. Darrell, are North Koreans able to legally access any foreign media content?
So no, they're not allowed to consume that type of content. In fact, on June 28th of 2024, a North Korean man was publicly executed for listening and sharing K-pop. The incident was released on a South Korean report about North Korean human rights. Apparently, the 22-year-old was executed due to him listening to about 70 South Korean songs and watching 3 South Korean movies and distributing them. North Koreans are forbidden from consuming this kind of media to shield them from the Western influence. The report also detailed extensive efforts by North Korea authorities to control outside information flow, with a specific focus on youth, according to the New York Times. The regime was cracking down on a capitalist fashion and hairstyle as well, targeting skinny jeans and T-shirts bearing foreign words, as well as dyed hair or long hair. The regime also has a co-opt technological advances in order to continue to isolate the North Korean people.
Why are North Koreans being killed for media?
North Koreans are being killed for consuming non-state-approved media. In this case, the young man was consuming South Korean media.
Who is the one imposing the bans and restrictions on the media?
The one imposing the ban is the North Korean Supreme Leader, Kim Jong-un.
What fears do the North Korean government have about outside media?
The North Korean government fears that North Korea will become more westernized like South Korea or other places in the diaspora.
How are the restrictions on media imposed on North Koreans?
Only approved North Korean smartphones can access the internet. They are instead connected to the country's server that is completely controlled by the nation.
And what rights do North Koreans even have when it comes to media?
So North Koreans have absolutely no rights to their own media. North Korean media outlets are spoon-fed state-approved media from their government to make it look like North Korea is completely cool and fine and have no freedom to their own press. For New Media Beat, I'm Darrell Smith. Back to you, Samantha.
Thank you, Darrell. Thanks for listening to New Media Beat. Thanks to our co-producers, Gabrielle Gambuza and Janavi Sripathi. Jaden Nunez engineered the show today. My co-host is Darrell Smith. Thanks, Darrell.
Thanks, Samantha. Today we heard reports from Maria Duran, Jaden Nunez, Michaela Rella, Hannah Rodriguez, Samantha Stock, me, Darrell Smith, Sophia Tredefilopoulos, and Frank Whitener.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest post on newmediabeat.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.
Stay tuned for more great programming coming up next week on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio.